take your Bibles and open to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And something should be that we're all familiar with here. I know we got a lot of folks missing this week. I know. Sorry, Brother Vlad. Okay, that should be better. I'm always afraid to let everybody hear me sing, you know, with an amplified mic. I figure I should keep I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But most of you would consider it just that. I enjoy singing, but not everybody may enjoy my singing. So I always try to turn it off when I sing, just in case. John chapter 19, familiar passage of Scripture. Let's take a look at it, starting in verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put it on him, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Therefore Pilate went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucifying!" I bet there's some gnashing of teeth going on there in that one, huh? Amen, if you were here for Sunday school. "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Good for Pilate. And he went again unto the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. And then there must be something about being a government official, because Pilate here kind of adopts the same attitude as the mayor of New York City. And he says this to the God of heaven. He says, then saith Pilate unto him, verse 10, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" What a statement. What a statement. Whoa, he did not know who he was talking to. Then Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment hall seat in a place that is called pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Now, our Heavenly Father, we come back to a very familiar passage of Scripture, one that's dear to our hearts because of the price that you paid on the cross. And Lord, I pray that you just set me aside here and maybe open up the words of the Bible and minister to the hearts of your people that are here this morning. I pray that it would be an encouragement to them and a help to them. And, Father, that your will would be done in everything that's said here this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here we have the Lord Jesus Christ before Pilate, and he's already been betrayed by Judas. Of course, he's been denied three times by Peter. And Pilate has said on three separate occasions in chapter 18, 38, in chapter 19, verse 4, and then again in chapter 19, verse 6, Pilate has said, "I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him." But these people, as Brother Todd was preaching about so eloquently this morning, that was really good, Brother Todd. I enjoyed that. But as he was preaching about this morning, these people were so mad. They were so angry. They were gnashing with their teeth. I bet there was weeping and wailing and everything going on there. They wanted this man dead. He was cramped in their style. They couldn't tolerate the fact that he would live. How dare he make himself the Son of God? And they stand up before Pilate, even though Pilate the potentate in that area there had said, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man. Again, a third time. I find no fault in this man. But they wouldn't listen. Crucify him. Crucify him. If you let him live, you're not a friend of Caesar's. And they didn't know the battle that was being fought there that day. They didn't understand the spiritual depths of what was really happening. And they didn't know that this Jesus, the Son of God, was about ready to pay the ultimate price for our sins. He was about to make that sacrifice that allows you and I to be reconciled unto God in a way that we could have never been reconciled unto God without Him. He was about to pay the price so that you and I would never have to see the gnashing and wailing in hell. So that you and I would never have to experience that. You and I would never have to face that. You ever burn yourself and then had something bump up against it? You know how painful that is on a bad burn? Can you imagine being down in hell and your whole body's burning? And everybody is there all conglomerated together, bumping up against each other. I was thinking about that when you were talking this morning. They're bumping into each other. Every time somebody bumps into you, you want to talk about some gnashing of teeth. Arr, get away from me! Whoa. And he was about to pay the price so that we would never have to see that. And we'd never have to think, we'd never have to experience that. I mean, their very eternity was on the balance right there at that moment. And they didn't see it. They didn't see it. The question that they should have been, that they needed to be asked was simply this. Hey, who is your king? Who is your king? They said to Pilate, they said this. They made this statement. They said, we have no king but Caesar. They actually just flat outright denied the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sitting there on the verge of going to the cross and paying for their sins, an act of love, an act of tenderness, kind-heartedness, the most gracious and giving act a God could do for His creation. He gave His life for His creation. All to draw you and me to Him. And they're sitting there saying, we have no king but Caesar. Men are proud. Mankind is proud. We want to do things our own way. We don't like having to subject ourselves to anybody for anything, for any reason, at any time. But here's God about ready to lay down His life for the sheep. And a bunch of His creation are saying, we have no king but Caesar. I'd like to say this. There's been many kings on this earth, many national leaders on this earth, many rulers on this earth. If you know anything about Russia back in the 1500s, there was a guy by the name of Ivan. They call him Ivan the Terrible. Yes? He was a ruler from Russia from until about 1547. He was the first to be claimed Tsar of Russia. And I was going through and looking at some of these men and some of the things that they'd done, some of the accounts of what they'd done over their rules during their rule. And you know what I concluded? There's a lot of things in here, a lot of things that they did. They're too horrific to even talk about in church. These were some terrible rulers. There were some terrible rulers. Ivan the Terrible was described as intelligent and devout, but he was given rages. He was given to rages and a little wacky up in the brain. He enjoyed burning thousands of people, they said, in frying pans, and one of his favorite pastimes was impaling people. Contrast. You got a bunch of Jews who are sitting there under Caesar. Under the Roman Empire, all right? You got Tiberius Caesar being, in charge during that time. And you got all these different rulers that men have sat under. And you got these Jews sitting there saying, we have no king but Caesar. I mean, they're asked to make this choice. Who is your king? Really, who do you want to serve? Who do you want to be associated with? Which path in life do you want to walk? You want to be following somebody like Ivan the Terrible or the Lord Jesus Christ? And brethren, that's the choice that we make every day. That's a choice. That's a choice that we make. There was another ruler back in Belgium, Leopold II, and he was king of the Belgians back in the late 1800s. And he's credited with going down into the Congo and basically being a tyrant. And I've read anything from 3 to 10 million people that he killed, just taking natural resources out and, you know, building up an empire for himself. 3 to 10 million people. Just for some rubber plants down in the Congo. A few other natural resources. And here, these people in John chapter 19, they're sitting there looking at the God of the universe, the God that created the universe, and they're basically saying, I don't want anything to do with him. He cramps my style. I don't want to be one of those. We will have no king but Caesar. That's what they said. We will have no king but Caesar. What about somebody you're a little more familiar with? How about a ruler like Adolf Hitler, right? 1933 to 1945, Nazi Germany, you know that whole story. How many Jews were killed during his reign? Millions, what, 20? I mean, there's millions and millions of Jews. So he starts off this whole thing, and he's got the concentration camps going on, and he winds up being a leader that people follow, that exterminates 20 million people. And men, just man, in his natural state, would rather associate themselves with somebody like that than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's strange. It's strange. There have been many kings on this earth. You take Joseph Stalin, right? The Soviet Union for up until about 1941, until about 1953 in that area. Actually, he started a little bit earlier than that, but he was the premier of the Soviet Union in 1941. But by his orders, millions of peasants were either killed or permitted to starve to death. There again, he's credited with about 20 million deaths of his own people. You know, there are a lot of kings out there that you can serve. There are a lot of people that you look to as idols, and you can follow their path, and there are a lot of directions that you and I can go down here on this earth. But you know what? The bottom line is, who's going to be your king? You know, who's going to be your king? I mean, where's your life going to go? What are you going to do? You pick any political leader, they've got faults, they've got problems, they've got, you know, some of them are terrible, terrible, terrible. In fact, I got on one list, and I just, you know, was curious, and I decided to Google the, you know, worst kings ever. And I got on this one list, and I'll give you 1, 2, 3, 4 of the top five. Four of the top five, and this is man's opinion, right? Four of the top five that was on this list of, I think they were the cruelest rulers ever. Number five, George H.W. Bush. he's known to be one of the worst rulers, mainly because of the economic policy he brought to the United States of America. This caused the national debt to rise sharply. Whoa. Another one on this list, Ariel Sharon, known to have, get this is his big problem. I could see why he made the list. He annoyed the French. That was their complaint against him. He annoyed the French, and, oh, he had narrow-minded opinions. He did. He had narrow-minded opinions. That was his big crime against humanity. They did have Queen Mary, Bloody Mary, you know, because she burned, she says 300 Protestants. I think it was a lot more than that, but anyway. And you know who topped it, number one? George W. Bush. He was America's 43rd president. There are many reasons why he's a part of this list, many reasons why he's a part of his list, including his poor decision-making skills. That was his big crime against humanity. Many people believe that he's responsible for a lot of the violence today. Of course, it says, he is one of the cruelest rulers of his era. Yeah. People are crazy out there. People are crazy. So, I mean, but you go through and you look at this, and that was a joke, by the way. I hope you guys didn't think I was serious about that. But you go through and you look at Ivan the Terrible. You look at what Hitler did. You look at what Stalin did. You know, some of those other people back there in history that were some of the worst rulers. Like I said, you can't even mention some of the things that they did. And yet, they were rulers that people followed. Back in, our own country, you guys know this pretty much, we broke away from a bad king, King George III. He was king from 1760 until 1820, technically. He was the one that bought the Queen's House back then, which is now known as Buckingham's Palace. But he was known for two main things. He was known as the Mad King, and he was known as the king that lost the Americas. Now, George had several mysterious bouts of madness, and I mean, he would just go stark raving lunatic. I mean, there were some issues going on there, and people think they know what it is nowadays, but the bottom line is it got so bad that they actually had to remove him from being king later on in his life and let his son take over. That's how crazy he was. Couldn't function. Now, that's the king that we broke away from when we became a country. I mean, he did things like he enacted the Stamp Act, the Townshend Act, which was a tax against sugar and glass and paint and molasses and those sort of things. He was the king that started the tax on tea, of course, our famous Boston Tea Party. He did all those things. But back then, you know, our forefathers was under a tyrannical king. Our forefathers weren't being treated fairly in there. You know the political setting that was going on back then. But, you know, they had to make a choice. They had to make a choice. Which king do we follow? Which king do we follow? Those Jews back there in Matthew 19, they stood up and they had the king of the universe, they had the God of the creation sitting there before them, and they looked at him and said, "We have no king but Caesar." And sometimes as Christians, I know that we're eternally secure and that once we're saved, we'll never lose our salvation. But sometimes as Christians, we're not so good about choosing which king we want to follow. Sometimes as Christians, we fail. We drop the ball. We're human. We make mistakes. And sometimes we get to follow in the wrong king. Well, think about it. Think about it. I noticed it was many of these kings have arisen, but I noticed one thing that was very interesting about each and every one of these kings, and that is this. No matter how bad they were, no matter how terrible the deeds they did, each and every one of them had many followers. Can you believe that? Each and every one of them had many followers. You know what that tells me about humankind? It tells me that if we're not careful, if we're not on the ball, if we don't watch ourselves, keep a check in ourselves, keep our nose in the book and know where we're going, and stand like this woman in Sudan who's being killed for her faith, if we don't get to the place where we can stand up like that for our Lord Jesus Christ, it's very possible for us to follow a tyrannical king. And those Jews back there, they just said this, "We have no king but Caesar." They were so fed up with what God was doing, they just couldn't stand the fact that he had called himself the Son of God. People have a lot of problems with that. You take Adolf Hitler, for example. Adolf Hitler, you look at him now and we look at him and say, oh, what a terrible man. No, how could anybody have ever followed him? You guys watch those old videos of him speaking and you see this just scores and scores and scores of people all lined up out there ready to go following Adolf Hitler. You know the scary thing about that is people followed him. I just ask you this, who's your king? On a day-to-day basis, when you get up in the morning, who's king? Who's king? When when you're having to make a tough decision, when you're driving on the road, when you're walking up and you're in a situation where you have an opportunity to witness to somebody, a coworker or some stranger, who's the king of your life? All too often we fail and we wind up following the wrong king. As bad as Adolf Hitler was, he had Adolf Eichmann, right? Born in 1906. He was one of the major organizers of the Holocaust. He was finally hanged by the State of Israel for the Nazis exterminating the Jews. And you know what he said? You know what he said after he was finally caught? He was finally caught in like 1960. The Israelis finally tracked him down, caught him, and of course brought him to trial. You remember, I'm sure read about or heard about some of those things. But you know what he said after he was found guilty? He said this. He said, "The death of 5 million Jews on my conscience gives me extraordinary satisfaction." Wow. See, even somebody like Adolf Hitler has many, many followers. Now we're sitting here in 2014, and we're in America, and you've got the God of this world who sat there on the cross to die for your sins, and you've got the devil who's running everything else. And we're sitting here and we need to make a choice. Now, I know most of you here are saved this morning. You've already made the choice to choose the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's a good thing. But maybe there's somebody here who hasn't. Maybe there's somebody here who hasn't. And I just ask you very simply, what kind of a king do you want to serve? See, you're going to serve somebody. You're going to follow somebody. Your life is going to take a certain path that you plot out and you decide where you want to go. And in those decisions, you're going to be following some sort of king. And there's plenty of kings out there that you can follow. Maybe you think yourself as a king. Chances are you wouldn't do much better than some of these guys. Maybe you have something else that you look up to and idolize that you want to follow. I saw Brother Todd up here try to get down into a Buddha pose this morning. You know, a lot of people follow Buddha. They think a Buddha is just a great way. Hey, listen, who's your king? Those Jews said, "We have no king but Caesar." Sitting there, staring them in the face, was the God of the universe, willing to die for their sins. And they say, "I don't want anything to do with them. Talk to the hand." Right? What a tragedy. Brethren, our King, the King that we serve, is so phenomenal, so far above anything this world has to offer. Why would we ever, ever choose anything else? We have a God that loved us. We have a God that cares for us. We have a God that every day looks down and checks out our life to see how we're doing and then arranges circumstances around us so that He can nudge us gently and sometimes kick us in the right direction. Amen? What a blessing that is. What a treasure we have in these earthen vessels. You say, "Who's your king?" I know who my king is. I know who my king is. What a treasure we have. Take a look back in 1 Kings chapter 1 real quick. 1 Kings chapter 1, you probably remember this story. David's old. He's getting ready to die. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, "Why hast thou done so?" And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. But, Zadok the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. Even amongst Israel, back there in the time when David was about ready to die, you know what? Somebody else wanted to be king. Somebody else wanted to take their attention. Somebody else wanted to be the big shot. And you know, the devil's out there. He's got so many different ways to get to us. I mean, Brother Todd was talking this morning. People make everything their idol. Sports, music, entertainment, pleasure. And as you know, I've told the teens, I told this, you know, to them years and years ago, there's like Brother Todd said, there's nothing wrong with playing golf. There's nothing wrong with playing sports. There's nothing wrong with having appreciation for somebody who's good at those things, because they're far better than I am at them. But brethren, who's your king? Who's your king? Adonijah wanted to raise himself up. He wanted to be king because he wanted people to follow him. Problem is, the Lord didn't choose Adonijah. It seems like anytime a bad ruler pops up, somebody will follow him. I know he wasn't a king, but there was a spiritual leader back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s time frame named Jim Jones. How many of you remember hearing about Jim Jones? All right, a few of you. James Warren Jones was an American religious leader and a communist, admitted communist. And you know what he was? He was a community organizer. Where have I heard that before? He was the founder and the leader of the People's Temple, known best for the mass suicide in November 1978 of 909 of its members in Jamestown, Guyana. There were over 300 children murdered at Jamestown. In 1951, Jones began attending the Communist Party meetings and became a communist, most definitely. And he kind of got tired of being harassed because of his political views. And you know what he did? He got kind of frustrated, and he thought, how can I promote this Marxist communist stuff? And, you know, how can I bring this in? And he decided to infiltrate the churches. And he actually ran across a Methodist church, a Methodist pastor, who actually got him started, and he became a student to become a pastor under this Methodist church. And he worked his way in there, and he went around, and he was talking a lot about, you know what it was? Equal rights. Of course, segregation was very prominent back then. He was a big advocate of equal rights for blacks and whites in the country. And during that time frame, again, there was a lot of problems. But he got into that social gospel area, and a lot of people started following him. By the early 70s, he began deriding traditional Christianity as a flyaway religion. He rejected the Bible as a tool that oppressed women and non-whites, and he denounced the sky god. He also authored a booklet titled The Letter Killeth, criticizing the King James Bible. Gee, I wonder why he picked that one. He also began preaching that he was the reincarnation of Mahatma Gandhi, of Father Divine, of Jesus of Nazareth, and of Buddha. I wonder if he could sit as well as Todd did. And the reincarnation of Vladimir Lenin. You say, this guy is kooky. He's nuts. Yeah, he was. But people followed him. Brethren, people actually chose him over the real thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? It's an amazing thing. It's amazing sometimes what people will do to avoid Jesus Christ. I ask you this, I mean, who's your king? Who's your king? In 1978, U.S. Congressman Ryan led a fact-finding mission to Jamestown to investigate allegations of human rights abuses. In his delegation, he had some relatives of the temple members and, of course, the camera crews and reporters. And he went down to Jamestown to find out what's going on, because this is a big thing. A lot of Americans were kind of upset about it. 2 days later, they arrived. They got to Jamestown, and they wound up having to leave very unexpectedly because Congressman Ryan was attacked with a knife by one of Jim Jones's parishioners, whatever you want to call it, members, congregations. Well, so they left and they headed back to the airport. And when they got back to the planes, they got to load on the planes, a bunch of people from the Jim Jones compound actually got in a truck, drove on out to the airport, and started shooting and killed this congressman and several other people as they were trying to leave Guyana. We have no king but Caesar. I imagine that's probably what they were thinking. We have no king but Jim Jones. It's strange, brethren, what people will do. They'll follow anything to avoid the truth. Later that day, some 910 inhabitants of Jonestown, like I said, over 300 of them were children, died from apparent cyanide poisoning. And we still talk about it today. Oh, yeah. In fact, my boss says this all the time. Every time something stupid policy comes down from the upper echelon of the government, he says, yeah, we got to drink the Kool-Aid. And that's what they did. They put the poison in the Kool-Aid and they gave it, and everybody drank it. Probably willingly. Willingly. Of course, they found Jim Jones a little later on. He hadn't drinking the Kool-Aid. He had a gunshot wound to his head. They still don't know who did it, him or somebody else. But brethren, the point is, people will follow anything. As bad as things get, people will follow anything. But we're different. We're different. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Like I said, I'm pretty sure everybody here in the congregation is saved. But if you're not, this is the choice you make. You make a choice as to which king you're going to follow. You're going to follow the devil, who's ultimately the king of all those other people, or you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Why somebody would follow someone like Jim Jones, I'll never know. Why somebody would follow an Adolf Hitler, I'll never know. Why would somebody follow a Stalin? They're afraid of getting killed. That may be the only reason. But you know what our forefathers did? Our forefathers under the King George of England stood up and said, no. We're not having any of this. And it was difficult for them. And you know what they risked? They risked everything they had. They risked their money, their reputations. They risked going to prison. They risked their lives. And they said simply this, we will not stand under this king. And you know what? That's what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how bad is this world going to get? When I read history, it's gotten pretty bad in the past. We're nowhere near that right now in America, but it's gotten pretty bad in the past under some rulers. And if that ever happens, where are you going to be at? You willing to risk your money? Your reputation? You willing to stand up like this lady in Sudan and say, I'm going to be a Christian, regardless? Oh, the Lord, give us strength to do that. What a blessing. What a blessing that would be. Ephesians chapter 1. Take a look down at verse 17. Start up in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of His power unto usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Take a look at verse 21. This is the God that I want to serve. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also which is to come. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And I got to looking back through here through these kings and some of the different things that they did and some of the terrors that they imposed upon their people. And I got to thinking about those folks in Matthew 19. Those Jews were under Caesar and they said, they chose to reject them. They said, we have no king but Caesar. I got to thinking about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and how far he is above anything else that's out there. And I thought, why on earth would we ever choose anything else? Amen? Why on earth would anybody ever follow a Jim Jones? Why on earth would anybody ever follow a Hitler? Why on earth would anybody ever follow anything other than our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ? You know, maybe, like I said, maybe all of you are saved here today. I hope that's the case. But if you're not, why would you ever choose anything else? He is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You know what? That's where I want to be. Amen? That's where I want to be. There's been a lot of kings that have showed their face on the earth. And there's a lot of people who will try to get your attention and try to get you to follow them. And a lot of your friends sometimes will try to get you to follow them. But brethren, when it comes right down to it, the Lord Jesus Christ is so far superior. Why would we ever want anything else? Why would we ever want anything else? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, right? Amen. I'm looking forward to being with a God that is greater than all things, higher than all things, more powerful than all things, that not only created all things, but then came down, took on the form of a man, and hung on that cross and died for my sins. Those Jews back there may have said, we have no king but Caesar. But I say, we have no king but Jesus Christ. Amen? We have no king but Jesus Christ. Now, I know that there's a lot of sacrifice and a lot of men have given their lives so that we can have this country that we have. And I appreciate that. You guys know that. You know where I stand and all that. This is a great country. And I appreciate what they did. And they're heroes in my book. But I've got a God that gave even more than that. And we set aside this day to honor those fallen men and veterans of the United States of America. Like I said, my grandfather was one. I was one. A lot of people in this congregation were one. Many, many courageous men done some great things. But brethren, we got a king that we can follow that's so much higher and so much better. So much higher and so much better. I can't imagine trying to fall for something like a Jim Jones. Drinking the Kool-Aid. Like I said, that was such a big event. It's a common saying, have you drunk the Kool-Aid? And I just ask you this, and we'll close down here. I just ask you this. As you're going about your normal life day in, day out, who's your king? Because there's somebody out there who's going to try to get you to drink the Kool-Aid. One flavor or another. There's somebody out there who's always going to be after you to try to get you to drink the Kool-Aid. But you know what? We have something so much superior, so much better, so much higher, so much more powerful in Jesus Christ. Brethren, there's nothing like him. There's nothing like him. I wouldn't want anybody else. Amen? Amen. I wouldn't want anything else. Ephesians 1:21 says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Those Jews made a mistake when they said, we have no king but Caesar. But I tell you what, I know where my citizenship is. We sang that song this morning, all my life long I had panted for a draught from some clear spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found him, whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood, I now am saved. What a great song that is. Why is that? Brethren, because he's a king worth following. Like I said, if you're lost here this morning, I just ask you simply, why would you ever follow anything else? Brother Todd had a real good Sunday school message about weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and what hell is like. And I just simply propose to you this before the day's out, and that is, there are those that don't want anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no king but Caesar. Okay, they got their own king. Are you one of those? Or are you somebody that realized, I want to be the citizen of a different country? I want to rebel against the devil, like our founding forefathers did when we started this country. I want to rebel against that king, and I want a new king. All right? And I know George Washington wasn't perfect, but I tell you what, he sure seemed to be the right man for the job at the right time. Amen? But spiritually, we go from the devil to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no king but Caesar, is what the Jews said. And I just ask you this morning, as we close here, who do you want to be your king? Who do you want to be your king? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, do thank you again. I know that this is just a simple message on something that we hear time and time again. But Lord, every once in a while, it's just good to remember how bad the world can actually get. Sometimes we get deceived, and sometimes we get a little bit off track in our Christian walk, in our lives. Father, sometimes we run across people who are lost and in need of a new king and don't even know it. But I pray this. I pray that you'd keep us faithful. I pray, Father, that like this woman in Sudan, Miriam, 27 years old, she's been in prison with her 20-month-old son for more than 3 months just because she's a Christian. Last week, she was sentenced to death. Father, I do pray that you would put it within our hearts to live and love you to the point that we're willing to die for you. Father, that we're willing to live for you each day of our life as well. And I do pray that if there's somebody here this morning who's never trusted Jesus Christ, Father, you'd open their eyes and help them to see just what it is that you've done for them. Pray that you touch your hearts now. Bless the rest of the day. The service is coming up tonight. Be with Brother Todd as he finishes getting ready for this evening. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, take our hymnals, turn to number 334. right, folks, appreciate you being here this morning. Thanks again. Regular service tonight, 6 o'clock, prayer meeting at 5:30 for those of you that can make it. Have a great weekend, and hopefully we'll see you this evening. You're dismissed. Amen.